This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, ESPN App, Sirius XM Channel 80 as well. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Chad Pennington is going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. We have a lot to discuss with him. Quarterback play, huge part, as always it is in the NFL. But all five of the first round picks, Bart, played. All five played.
What do they
did
all
something.
Have, what do they all have in common?
You tell me.
They all went down, to quote the great Steve Urkel.
Well, I mean, it's just the beginning, man. It's just the beginning. But how about that first week, though, man? Let's get to Straight Talk, by the way, Straight Talk Wireless. How about our first Sunday in the NFL? Storylines as we expected, matchups that we expected, games that we said to keep an eye on, and you certainly had games that were worth talking about, and we will get to a couple of them that we really stood out to us. But just give me an overview, if you would, Mr. Pro Bowler, Mr. All-Pro, Mr. Can't Wait.
I tell you what, a lot of disappointment, right? And you see maybe the lack of reps in the preseason as some teams decide to kind of protect their quarterbacks and protect their veteran players. Coming out a little rusty, didn't look like the old. It's crazy, right? Because this is what people always forget. What you did last year means absolutely nothing for this year. You can be an All-Pro and come out the next year and stink it up. Just saying. Not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm just saying. You can have a great year,
yeah.
1 year, and come out the next year and stink it up. Guess what? Everybody, that's what the beauty of yesterday is. Clean slate. Some teams overperformed and maybe changed our expectations of what we believe they can be this year.
Yeah.
And some teams maybe lied to us.
Really? Lied to us?
Lied to us.
See, I feel like some teams we just were like,
give them the ass face.
You know what I mean? Because you just watched them and you were like, ugh. You know, like, what? But then there were other games that were going one way. Look, we've got some games to get to. We've got Overreaction Monday to get to because that's what we do, and I love playing that game. But before we get to all that, and of course, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. But here's a couple of games, Bart, that we should discuss. And like I said, this is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And I want to get your take on some of these. So let's first begin with what we saw. We knew there were going to be two really good out-of-the-gate week one tone-setting AFC matchups. This one was certainly one that for one half, I was really believing. And then, of course, Mahomes happens.
Mahomes,
and that is Chiefs 33, Browns 29. I mean, there's so many things to break down. Like, the phrase, Browns are going to brown, it just comes back, and you like this can't be the year that happens again. But in week one, it was that once again, if you're a Browns fan, it's that gut punch of a moment. I mean, the punter just flub. And then is Baker trying to make an extra play, trying to do something. I'm not sure if he was just trying to get that out of bounds or not, but that interception, painful interception, a close game. But there's also, Bart, the wonder of Mahomes, who has never, I repeat, never lost a game in September. What? Yeah. 11-0 in September.
Yeah.
Now he's going to get challenged. He's got the Ravens next week. Ravens on Sunday night in Baltimore, and then he's got the Chargers at home, which is a huge, obviously, game in their division. So, that'll be tested the next couple of weeks. But still, what you saw out of this game, was it more about the Chiefs are just that team we know they are? Or is this telling you something about the Browns who had a lead? And had a lead late, even in the fourth quarter, had a lead and could not put it away.
See, it's a difference, right? There's levels to this, right? You can be a contender, but you have to learn how to win tight games and tight situations. You have to come up big and not small, right? We see this all the time when we have a good team going against a great team. The good team gets out, and you know that the great team is going to have a chance. And if you give them that opportunity, that chance, if you don't close the door, if you start self-imploding, if you try and coast to victory and you give them a chance when they become desperate.
But then what did they do wrong? What did the Browns do wrong that turned that game around?
Well,
aside obviously from the punter muffing a punt and then Baker with that interception, but still.
And you can't give up big plays no matter what, right? Either your guys have to make the plays. I mean, they threw up, like Mahomes threw up a lollipop to Tyreek Hill, right? But his guy makes the play, your guy doesn't.
Turned everybody around.
You have to shut the door. When you have an opportunity, when they're down, you don't give them an opportunity to get back up. You never stop punching. You have to stay aggressive. You have to make sure that you put points on the board. Because when you have a 10-point lead, a 14-point lead, that's nothing to my homeboy who can score, right? We talk about their explosive plays, trying to keep the cheetah contained. And where's this great vaunted defense that the Cleveland Browns were supposed to have? They're supposed to have Clowney on one side, a defensive MVP on the other side, Ty Johnson from the Rams before. You talk about Williams, all the great talent that they have there, but they can't perform as an elite unit. They have all the pieces. What's the problem? This defense is not big time, and it should be. It should be the strength of this team because it's just as much talent on that side of the ball than it is on the offensive side of the ball.
It's amazing to think the Browns have gone 17 straight seasons without a win in their season opener. Just 1-0. It's been that long. But Baker Mayfield, he understands. Like, they've got to learn how to close the deal, just like Bart said.
You have to execute critical moments. Nothing else matters before those moments. You know, it always comes down to those 3-4 plays that you look back on and say, wow, if I would have done this differently, it would have worked. So, I'm going to be hard on myself. But go back and attack this week, and you got a home game, and it's going to be a good one.
And that's what they've got now. They've got 16 games to go. It's still a long way to go, but you thought this might be a tone setter, and it would have been a tone setter. You go ahead.
How the hell you have elite defense, and you let Tyreek Hill go for 197? What in the whole hell?
They let that happen.
Yes,
it happened.
Yes, yes, because listen, I'm going to say you're not beating me with Tyreek Hill. What happened in the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay after Tyreek Hill had torched them? Mm-hmm. They were able to double him and say, Kelce may beat us and get big plays, but he can't get 75-yard touchdown passes. He can't get these one-score, you know, explosive plays. You know, you think about losing to Travis Kelce, that's like death by 1,000 paper cuts, right? Dealing with Tyreek Hill is like getting your head blown off with a damn grenade launcher, right? Like, that's going to be a quick death. So I don't understand, like, why can't you come up and devise a plan to take away their number one weapon and say, Tyreek Hill is not going to beat me. I'm going to allow Travis Kelce to beat me because you know you have a greater chance, and that takes more time to die that way.
All right, so we move on now. Another game in the AFC that we circled and said, boy, what a big first week game this is in the AFC, and that was Steelers-Bills. And again, 10-0.
Who'd you pick again?
I didn't pick that game.
Who would you believe that was going to win?
Oh, I believe the Bills would. Yeah, you're home. I mean, everything should have gone their way. They were home. They're a favorite. And it was I know, you believed in the Steelers. And for 1 week, you're right. But this game was 10-0. This game felt like it was going just the way it should. And you know these two teams. They always play. Last year was the same thing. It was kind of like this just slogging contest because, you know, again, the Steelers defense is always going to keep you
in the game.
So this ends up, though, all of a sudden just turning on a dime. Just absolutely turns on a dime in the third quarter. And the next thing you know, you look up and it's 23-16. The Steelers win on the road. The Bills offense held to just 16 points. And this is, you know, T.J. Watt returns, doesn't practice, nothing, and still.
Practice? Not the game. We talk about
two
practice.
Two sacks, forced fumble, like it just absolute dominant game that he has had. And Ben Roethlisberger, who just.
Looks done, right?
He looked done in the first half.
Then he does like he always does, Michael Myers.
It really is amazing.
Rise, my child.
But before we hear from Mike Tomlin on the job of the defense, tell me this. This is great from the stats information group. Josh Allen was blitzed on one of 55 dropbacks. Mm-hmm. The lowest blitz rate he's faced in his career.
Yes.
The Steelers blitz a league high 40.5% of the time last season.
Yeah.
So the fact that they just decided not to blitz him, you being a defensive player,
yes.
Did that completely throw the Bills off their game?
Absolutely, because I guarantee you they had all kind of hot blitz beaters, all kind of packages in, bubble screens. And when a team that's usually aggressive, and this is how we beat the Patriots when we came back and beat them in a can't-wait game.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had played us the week before, and they put up 45 points running pick routes and rut routes, putting Wes Walker in the backfield, all that type of stuff, having guys running to each other, right, bringing Revis into the box. And then we decided to play them just base coverage, you know what I mean, and say, okay, you're going to beat us. And remember, Josh Allen, you know, before last year was struggling with accuracy, right?
Yep.
And he went in last year was his most accurate percentage of his career.
But what happens is when now you're only rushing four because you have Ingram, because you have Watt on the outside, now we're doubling everybody. We're taking Diggs away. Now do you have the patience to beat us with death by a thousand paper cuts? And then, oh, by the way, we got guys that can get to the passer without like blitzing, right? So there's more ways to get to the passer. One, you can get coverage sacks, or you can get sacks because you blitz and your guys are locking guys down. They decided to switch it up. And now, listen, we always say, listen, they'll figure it out on Monday what we were doing. And Monday is too late, and Josh Allen has to take that dub because he was holding on to the ball, burping the baby. Because you're not blitzing, you have eyes on him, so he can't use his athleticism. What happens is when you blitz from one side, you give him an escape route, and it forces guys to try and tackle that big man in space. This allows him never to really get going. It was a beautiful game plan by a dominant defense that has scheme versatility.
And here's Mike Tomlin on that defense that got it done.
We figured that we might not have great fluidity on offense in terms of starting, and so we couldn't allow our defense to wear down. I can't say enough about the number of people that we played up front and the way that they collectively got after them. You know, those three edge guys, those three edge guys that you guys been asking a lot about, Watt and Highsmith and Ingram, they delivered today, along with others, obviously, Cam Hayward and so forth.
All right, real quick here before we get on to our last of the three games that we're breaking down that we thought were the games you circle on Sunday out of the first week of the NFL season. It's Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. Do you have concern at all for the Bills this year? After seeing what you saw, is that just scheme got them and they're going to be fine? But did you see something that made you think maybe the Bills aren't as that contender that everybody's trying to make them?
No, what I'm saying is I think that the Pack are closer than people think. And it's a big difference. It's not a
They're
big
closer huge... to the Pack, you're saying?
Yes. Okay. And it's not a huge difference between a team that struggled last year that may figure it out and the light turns on another year within the system. So you're going to have a lot of teams that are going to be a lot harder to play against than what you would have thought, right? Who thought that Denver was capable of putting that type of defensive performance together? Who thought that, you know, a team like San Diego, I'm sorry, that the Chargers were able to put that type of effort together, understanding that they were going against a vaunted top four rush team? Oh, well, guess what? These offensive linemen that the Chargers went and picked up are pretty damn good, but you guys didn't know that. I knew that. I tried to tell y'all, but y'all wouldn't listen.
No, we were listening. Okay, so that leads us to one more game now that we really feel like you've got to discuss, and this one has several different layers to it, so we'll spend a little extra time in it. Again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, because coming up, we'll get to our overreaction Monday for more around the NFL. We want to get yours for your specific team. You tell us your team and your overreaction to what they did in week one, because we all do it. It's Monday. That's how things work. So this is the game that really – like out of the three I picked, I thought the Packers – I'm giving the points. Neutral site. They're playing in Jacksonville. And yet – and the Packers had fans in that building.
Yeah.
And yet the Saints – I mean, absolutely obliterated the Packers. 38-3. And I feel like let's begin with the positive. And the positive is Jameis Winston. 14 of 20, 148 yards. Doesn't sound like a lot. 5 touchdown passes. And the bigger number, 0 interceptions, Bart Scott. 0 interceptions.
He didn't risky the biscuit.
No, he did not risky the biscuit. And he was just great. Like, I don't even know how other way to describe it other than he was great. And in fact,
I like that.
You want to give your new podcast with Rex Ryan a plug right now?
Oh, absolutely. Organized Chaos. Yes. We keeping it Rizzial on that thing, man. Jameis.
Well, here's Rex Ryan with you, Bart Scott, and your podcast discussing the performance by Winston in his first start with the Saints.
This Jameis Winston, when he came in, he was the most humble guy of all time. He came in with a notebook, a pen, all that. He sat down, never said a word, and all he did was go to work. And instead of just coming in and saying, hey, I'm Jameis Winston, I threw for 5,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, albeit 30 interceptions, but I was the first overall pick, and mm-hmm. be that way, be cocky and all that. He did just the opposite. He came in like, I'm a rookie, and I'm here to learn. And, man, how do you not pull for somebody like that? And good for him, man. 5 touchdown passes against the Green Bay Packers.
I completely agree with Rex on that. I love how Jameis has handled this since he left. I mean, he leaves Tampa. He was their number one overall pick. He leaves there after an epic season of a 30-for-30 season, as we know.
30 for 30.
The touchdowns and the interceptions, right.
Yeah.
And Bruce Arians kind of threw, you know, kicked him right out the door. He did. And then they bring in Tom Brady, win a Super Bowl, and he takes basically a gap year, takes the year off, understudy, and just gets his game right, gets understands the system, and they now release the hounds. They put him back out there. His first win since week 15 in 2019. And for him to come out and have this kind of performance where, as I mentioned, the five touchdowns, that's the great part. Alvin Kamara was fantastic, as we know. Yeah. But there were times, and I felt like Winston mentioned this after the game, his favorite plays, Bart, were the ones where he knew in the past, I would have tried to force that, might have turned into a turnover. He just would throw it out of bounds. He would get rid of it. He was smart enough to recognize that my game has matured, and you saw it today.
See, remember last week when I tipped my hat to Jameis Winston for what he did? I said, hey, man, it took a lot of humility to humble yourself and to take a gap year, say, hey, what I was doing isn't going to help me be in this league for a long time. I have to change my ways. No risky, no bisky isn't it for me.
Yeah.
Like, and that was a bad matchup because you can't have a guy that's all about the risky and tell him that it's okay, right? And now Sean Payton says, no, 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 we don't risky the bisky around here. The football is the most important thing, and we cherish it. We protect it. We do whatever we have to do to make sure that football stays in familiar hands. We don't give this football to the enemy. And that's what he did, right? And he did. You can see he took what the defense gave him, and when the defense came up and they made that one pivotal mistake and they left the back of the field open, he exploited it because he has some of the best arm talent. It's never
How
been
great
an issue.
Drew Brees last night on Sunday Night Football when they were showing the highlights, and he said it. He's like, when they showed that pass, and he says, oh, is this what the Saints have been missing? because obviously that never was his game, but Winston's got that kind of arm.
I hate to pat myself on the back, but I'm going to pat myself on the back. Because last week I said that Jameis Winston allows them to utilize the vertical aspect of the football field. Because what happens is when you play Drew Brees, you can play a defense that's good against the run and against the pass because he wants to throw short intermediate things like that. So you play things like cover three because you want to make sure all the underneath zones are covered. When you go against Jameis Winston, if you try and do that because you're trying to take Alvin Kamara away, now you're exposing the deep part of the football field because he can get it there no matter what.
So another great stat, again, Jameis Winston, the first quarterback in NFL history to throw five passing touchdowns with no interceptions in a season opener and his first start with a new team. So what a debut it was for Jameis Winston. Meanwhile, on the other side, Bart, we just got a few more minutes here, but we've got to bring this up. What the hell is Aaron Rodgers doing? What was that? What was, like after this whole offseason where he took a lot of our oxygen, waiting and wondering what is he going to do and him wanting to get all these things his way, and then we go into this game with the anticipation of, all right, well, he's the MVP. He's got everything he wants. He's got players back. He wants Randall Cobb. He wanted him back. Yep. Like, you've got what you want. You're in a situation where it's neutral site. You have more fans than they do, and you're playing against the Saints. On the first week of the season – and he was 15 of 28, 133 passing yards, did not throw a touchdown, threw two picks and two weird throws by him, too. Yeah, you never see him force the way he forced. And it just, what an awful game that he played. It was overall a bad game for their offense. But take a listen to what he says when he talks about the Packers' offense and what they didn't do.
Yeah, you know, when a team's going to play that much to show, you got to be able to run the ball, and you know we didn't run it that effectively. I think we came in thinking they're going to pressure us a bunch, like they did last time. But last time, you know, we had Allen, MVS, and Swerve, and this time, you know, we had some different skill guys. Obviously, Devontae being back, so they really didn't pressure us a whole lot. It was a lot of to show, and they kind of held up with their front four, front six.
Was he just throwing Matt LaFleur under the bus?
Oh, I smell diesel fuel. Absolutely. He backed the bus over him and then ran back over and ran him over twice. But listen, understand.
Is it ever his fault? Is it ever Aaron Rodgers' fault? Couldn't he just, we didn't adjust?
No. Listen, he's saying, listen, he understands this is his last dance. And the last thing he's going to do is be blamed for the inadequacy of the head coach called a bad game.
the head coach didn't do a good job in understanding what was happening. Like, this is what happens with week one, right?
And when he walked off the field in the NFC Championship game, and they right? Third down,
yeah.
Doesn't run it in. Fourth down, taken off the field. Walks off the field like, well, wasn't my fault. That was the play call.
Well, this is what happens in the league, right? People assume. Week one, people assume. And then when they get something different that they prepare for an entire offseason for, they can't adjust on the fly, right? It's about being able to counterpunch. And the Green Bay wasn't able to counterpunch, especially when they saw that without Backer Airy, that Dave was getting pressure. A lot of those throws was because he had people at his feet.
Yep.
He's jumping. We've never seen him under that type of pressure. You know how you ease up the pressure? Running the football, having balance. Because they know you're going to drop back. They're going to make sure that they're able to double. Listen, they got Marcus Lattimore just got extension for $100 million. Like, he's good enough to cover Devontae Adams, but they made sure they say, you know what, we're going to still double him. You talk about cover two.
They took him out of the game.
That's essentially doubling him.
Yeah.
And they didn't do a good job in adjusting to what was happening. And Jameis Winston was over there chopping him up.
Yeah.
So everybody wants to blame A-Aaron, what went underneath the radar because we were so busy following the ball. We were following the light.
Okay.
We forgot that Joe Barry is replacing Mike Pettine, who did a tremendous job last year because that defense – attacked, it had a great style, and they're adjusting to some read and react stuff, and it was not happening last week because they couldn't stop Kamara, and they couldn't stop Jameis, who was extra hungry for W's yesterday.
Yeah, no, the Packers is not a good debut, but as Aaron Rodgers said, there's still 16 games left, and you know.
R-E-L-A-X.
That's the way it's always going to be with Aaron Rodgers. So we'll see where it goes from here, but not a great debut for him and his return back to Green Bay. It's Barton Hahn, Alahan, Bart Scalba coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Just getting started here on an overreaction Monday in the first week of the NFL. So, some overreactions that we have, that Bart will have for you of what we saw so far, because we do have a game tonight, in first week of the NFL. We'll get yours as well at 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's coming up after Bart has this from Vivid Seats.
If you guys haven't been paying attention, the football season is back. Baseball playoffs are right around the corner. And best of all, the safe return of live events mean that you can actually be there to see the action with Vivid Seats. From seats on the 50-yard line to a bird's-eye view to parking passes, being there is all that matters. And get this, with Vivid Seats Rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you have to do is
select
stamp. I said free! Free 99! Redeem and repeat. It's simply just that easy. So grab your tickets today and cheer your favorite team from the stands. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. That's Vivid Seats. Experience it.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
By request, Bart Scott wanted some Limp Bizkit today.
Limp Bizkit!
So you're feeling this today, huh?
Yeah, man. A little grunge.
I like this.
That's what we're feeling, man. We feeling that
the
heat.
The first week.
Oh,
now,
so
we got
happy.
One more game tonight. And, of course, it's one of your former teams, the Ravens.
Yeah,
at the Raiders in the new stadium in Vegas with actual fans. How about SoFi last night with fans? That place sounded loud.
Crazy. I'm telling you, man, it's going to be great tonight, man. You talk about Vegas is a nice spot to go to. Now, just imagine now, right? You go to Vegas, you fly in on Thursday, go crazy, right?
Oh.
Friday, you go crazy again. And then you think about you get to go to a boxing match or MMA fight on Saturday, then go to a Raiders game on Sunday, bet, try and make all the money back on the game, and then fly home broke. Man, what a hell of a week.
That's actually a pretty good weekend, right, if you get the right kind of matchups. But still, that game is tonight, and we'll discuss the Monday night game a little bit later on in the show. But right now, it's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, where I'm presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today and find if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Overreaction Monday, it's what we do. All of us, with our teams especially, and that's what we want you to do, and we'll get to your calls here in a moment. But let's begin, Bart, with some overreactions that we have. And I wanted you to tell me if you think it's an overreaction or if no. That's just a good take. So here's the first one. Chandler Jones will break the single-season sack record this season. Mm. Now remember, it's 22.5, Michael Strahan, Hall of Famer, 2001. But you've got the extra game, and he's already 5 in.
He's 17 to go, so all he needs is 1.1 sack per game to break the vaunted. First of all, Strahan shouldn't have this record anyway.
Stop it.
Brett Favre just fell down and gave his old buddy.
He was going to get it anyway. He was getting it anyway.
But I tell you what, people are really under. Listen, in a contract year, Chandler Jones upset about his contract, brings in J.J. Watt. Remember, last year he got injured, missed the entire season, and that's when the wheels fell off for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes, defensively.
Because defensively.
Couldn't stop the run.
He's been one of the best pass rushers in the game for the last 5 years that we don't talk about because the Cardinals have been trying to find their way. That is a good damn thing.
All right, you like that?
I love Chandler Jones. Not even the most dangerous Jones in his family, because Bone Jones will still kick his ass.
All right, next overreaction we have. Either Daniel Jones or Joe Judge will not be with the Giants next season. Let's be honest.
Mm. Listen, I picked this team to win the division.
Yes,
now,
you did.
Now, the Washington football team took an L. The Dallas Cowboys took an L. The team leading the division right now is the Jalen Hurts.
Fly, Eagles, fly!
Eagles, I don't know if that's sustainable. I still believe in Danny Dimes. They have to figure out a way. I would say
what do you call him?
I would say
what do you call him?
I would say both will be there. Junior Wapperhands and Joe Judge will be there. Saquon Barkley, if he keeps putting up those stinkers of performances, won't be there.
ACL.
I don't care. I watched McCaffrey come back and look like McCaffrey. Saquon Barkley looked like that was his stunt double from the movies, and he really ain't got no damn talent. I don't want the stunt double. I want the real Saquon Barkley to show up and show out.
So I'll tell you what. I think Joe Judge for sure. I don't know about Daniel Jones. I know one guy that won't be here, though, and that's Dave Gettleman. That's a serious issue, a bad loss for the Giants. They just looked bad in that game. All right, continuing with your – you know what, though? Before we continue, we need to go to Tessa in New Jersey, and her Giants. Tessa.
What say you, Tessa?
On the phone this whole time, like, stay calm. Don't black out. Other people might not know you. Like, how to, you know, try to say everything. I can't help it. I'm blacking out. My overreaction is this, guys. And by the way, how you doing? My overreaction is this. I don't care when people say,
let that breathe.
It's all good. Go ahead.
No, it's not 0-1. It's like 0-81 because we've been doing the same trash, dumpster fire garbage for the past 5 seasons. So it's 0-81 to me. Danny Dimes, whatever you want to call him, Junior Wapperhand, hold the ball high and tight. High and tight. That's all I'm saying. What is going on? The O-line can't open. No hole for Saquon. Nate Solder looked like a freaking statue yesterday when Von Miller just stood him up. It was like, oh, my God, I'm scared. Oh, my God, my chest hairs is shrinking up. I can't take it.
My
overreaction, God forbid we go 0-16. I love my team. I'm a ride or die with them, but I'm scared. I'm scared. 0-16, I'm scared.
What about that great defense last year that was top 10? Leonard Williams went out and got OZs, got Bradbury, Blake Martinez, Adoree Jackson, Julie Peppers.
Teddy Bridgewater. I said this yesterday on Twitter.
Teddy Two Gloves.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Two Gloves.
You got to put respect on his name, and we do not give him enough credit. I have been a fan of his since Louisville. I continue to be. He just gets it done, man. And he's been in the league now long enough. He understands it. Mind and body are in the same place. It's euphoria for him. I thought he looked fantastic in big spots yesterday in a nice first week win for the Broncos. We move on. In Overreaction Monday, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. The Jets should have kept Sam Darnold?
Ooh, this is just low-hanging fruit. Low-hanging fruit.
I don't buy it for a minute.
Yeah, Sam Darnold. Listen, that's an overreaction. I thought the rookie looked good. I want, you know, some more guys. I want to see more Denzel Mims. Can I get some more Denzel Mims? One catch, 40 yards. Let's find a way to incorporate him into the offense.
Okay.
And I thought this team was going to be better at running the football. They didn't run the football very well last week against a pretty good, you know, defensive line, supposed to be the strength of that defense. Overreaction. I'm sticking with Zach Wilson at least for a week.
I think Dave in New Jersey agrees. Dave.
Definitely agree. You guys read my mind. Zach made me proud yesterday. No matter how he got sacked, how he got hurried, he just kept fighting back. And I'm proud of what Zach Wilson did.
Yeah, he figured it out in the second half. After getting shut out in the first half, it felt like he got his rhythm. They figured out how to get some things done. I just, you know, that defense looked pretty good, too. Like, listen, they only gave up 19 points to a team that has Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, and McCaffrey. You know, that's not something to write home about, but a lot of inexperience at key positions. When you think about they're going to lose Joyner for the year, potentially, and you think about Nazarene being into the box, getting exploited, understanding that it's the difference between the preseason and the regular season. He's a young kid. He's light. You know, and they ran at him, and, you know, he struggled a little bit.
All right, last but not least on the Overreaction Monday. We've got tons of these. We'll get back to these again in the next segment, but let's keep it moving. Here's an overreaction, Bart. Urban Meyer won't last the season in Jacksonville.
They lost to the Texans, who are openly trying to tank. How do you lose to Tyrod Taylor? He still got a hole in his lung from last year when he took the shot. Like, I don't understand it, man. Listen, Urban Meyer, you talk about welcome to the NFL moment. You know, Lawrence yesterday, 3 interceptions.
Ish.
I mean, Lovie Smith is still fooling rookie quarterbacks with the Tampa 2. Did you not understand that the safety's going to fall off when you put a swing route into the flat youngster? You got to read low to high. Don't look at the safety. Look at the corner. See if the corner's coming back. And then you can decide if you're going to fit into the window. Hopefully he learns from those mistakes. But Jacksonville was really my biggest disappointment because they're playing against a team that all consider to be number 32 in all the NFL. Guess what? Jacksonville, you're 32.
I thought they were getting their first win, maybe their only win in week one. They didn't. And Trevor Lawrence did not look great, but it's obviously early for him, the number one pick.
Sunshine.
We mentioned Zach Wilson. Trey Lance got some action. Justin Fields got some action.
We got 2 touchdowns by them. We got 4.
And the fifth of the first-round quarterbacks, Mac.
And cheese.
He also played well. In fact, Joe in New York believes he needs a new nickname. Joe?
Hey, Bart.
What up?
You've got to admit, he is not Mac and Cheese anymore. He is now Big Mac. He's playing an outstanding game. He managed the game. I want to go to war with you because you are the critical Mac.
Did Mac and Cheese
win?
He
will be the greatest Alabama quarterback in the NFL.
Did Mac and Cheese win?
Joe.
Did Mac and Cheese put up more than 16 points?
Did he fumble or did his running back fumble?
Did he put up more than 16 points?
Did he fumble? Was he about to lead them down the field? Was he about to lead them down the field? They turned the ball over. Well, I'm sorry. Out of the 2 Alabama quarterbacks, which one looked better in that game?
I'm just trying to tell you.
I'm asking you.
I'm just trying to tell you that Tua Tagovailoa got the W, so he gets to ride off into the sunset and control the narrative.
Oh, I've got a Tua Tagovailoa overreaction for you.
I'm just saying, be careful.
All right.
When you want to just crown the Patriots in that division, you got to remember that the Miami Dolphins is a good football team. I believe that the Buffalo Bills will figure it out. But right now,
all right,
Mac and Cheese is 0-1.
Oh, okay. We shall see where that goes. More overreactions from you at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get your calls. We have a few more overreactions. Chad Pennington, speaking of young quarterbacks that we used to love back in the day, that would be him.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I wish I was a kid again.
Yeah. Barton Hunt, you got that one for free. But no, you don't have a read now, do you? No. We have more overreactions from you, more of your conversations as well. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It is Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
What happened to all the sunlight?
Wrangler has all the latest denim styles and trends. Find yours at Wrangler.com.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hunt, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Chad Pennington to join us on the Goodyear Hotline coming up in just a few minutes. Stay with us for that, of course, and more of your overreactions. We'll get to those in a second. But some a little bit of news in the NFL. Ryan Fitzpatrick with that hip injury. Taylor Heinicke, the ball is yours.
No, what happened,
the Washington
man.
Football team is he will now start next week against the Giants.
Might have to put old Fitzpatrick to sleep, man. Mice of men. You know what happens when old people break their hip, man? You take them out back and you send them up to the upper room. You send them back to the upper room.
Upper room. All right. Well, some more news. The Jets' big left tackle, Mekhi Becton, taken off on the cart, and he was in tears. It seemed at that moment
ACL.
He might be done for the season after he was rolled up on in the back of his leg. But the news is he needs surgery for some cartilage damage, and that he is out 4 to 6. So the Jets still will have him.
Well, they dodged a bullet.
Back.
They dodged a bullet, and you know, first of all, listen, I don't want to see you crying on a cart, and it's something like I hurt my kneecap. Come on, man, tough it up, man. No crying in football.
Yeah, but if you think
put some Robitussin on it, man.
But if you think that injury, that you think you're out, like my season's done, and we're in week one, like that's the emotion. I don't know if it was the pain of the injury.
Okay.
I think it was the reality of I felt something pop. Like, apparently his kneecap was out of place.
It popped out and went back in. I think they call that a subluxation. How you say it? Subluxation?
I don't know, but it just...
But it went back in. It's not like it was stuck out and then they had to go pop it back in.
Yeah, I just threw up my mouth. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Spoken like a true basketball guy. Come on, man.
Hey,
buck up, bucko.
Yo.
Are you crying?
I ruptured my ACL twice, Sonny. Okay, I've been through it.
Nobody tells you to play those weak-ass Jays.
That's another story that the rest of the nation will hear one day about how the first time I injured myself of many injuries in my basketball career. Let's go to the calls, though. Josh is in Michigan. Josh, what do you think about your Lions?
D-toi.
Man, yesterday was rough. I actually think the Lions secondary is going to be one of the worst in the league this year.
Yeah,
even
man.
If they still had Okuda for the season.
Yeah, Okuda's out. Talk about another injury, ruptured his Achilles.
Man, it's been a tough two years for this kid, man, coming up with high expectations. You know, you was hoping that the Lions would be able to try and at least establish something. You know, Sewell got high praise from Nick Bosa, so maybe that's something you can build on. Let's just start with the positive, man. Jared Goff, come on, son. Like, what's wrong with my Lions, man?
What do you mean, Dan Campbell? Nobody let go of the rope. They were getting blown out in that game, and then the Niners had to hold on. And they covered. Thank you, Lions.
Yeah, but those are empty points at the end. Like when San Francisco had stopped trying. Like, come on, man.
You don't feel like there was anything.
I'm
to
just
build
concerned
off that?
Because now they go. Yeah, okay. Let's see how they do against Aaron. That's pissed off now. That's gonna mess around and have some type of historical day because everybody's doubting Aaron and his weak ass ponytail. I tell you what, man. He need to let his hair show in his face. I don't know what he's doing, man. But he look old.
Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know if
he's got a man bun. Man bun is not working.
But his
in the
face
NFL
started
right
to look
now.
Old, man.
Download
way
the Overheard podcast for curiously delightful conversations overheard around National Geographic's headquarters, presented by the City Advantage Platinum Select Card. Card built for your next adventure. Quarterbacks in New York were up and down for week one. We'll break down their performances with someone who's very familiar with that position, especially in New York. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hunt Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hunt weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hunt, the podcast.